This week's parsha is Parshas Nayach. I saw recently in a biography about my Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Aaron Schechter, that somebody asked him, what's the story with Nayach? Is Nayach, was he a good guy? Was he a bad guy? Is he a tzaddik? From the beginning of the parsha, Rashi's, you know, famous commentary about so he was like speaking in a way to the Rosh Yeshiva that he didn't like the nusach and the ruach that he was asking it. And Rav Aaron said that a few diaries ago there was a great gadol by the name of Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin. Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin was the Rav in Brisk. And then he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He became the Rav in Yerushalayim, B'Saif Yamav. And all the Gedolim looked at Rabbi Shua Leib in like the highest possible way. Like it wasn't Rav Aaron Kotler or other Gedolim. Like when they would mention the name Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin, it would be like, you know, he was like in a league of his own. And Rav Aaron said that Rabbi Shua Leib once said that when he was a child, his father was a rav in a certain city, and there was a fire in the city. And in the course of the fire spreading, it spread to the shul, and the Sefer Torah, Rachman al-Islan, burned. Rabbi Shua Leib said that when I heard the news, I started to cry. But when my father heard the news, he fainted. And Rabbi Shua Leib was saying about the difference in dairus between him and his father. So Rav Aaron said, Rabbi Shua Leib didn't live that long ago. He lived a few diaries ago. And we see the great divide between even he, who was so great, and his father, who we know nothing about. We know very little about Rabbi Shua Leib's father. We know very little about Rabbi Shua Leib himself, his true greatness, but we certainly don't know much more about his father. But yet, he looked at his father as being so much greater than he was. He says, and you're questioning whether Nayach was great or not. Do you have any idea the godless of anyone that's in Tanakh, that the Torah says he's a tzaddik? We have no idea, we have no ability to measure the greatness of such people. And so, you know, when we learn Parshas Nayach, we have to do it with a great deal of awe and reverence. Nayach has, in the world at large, I think there's a lot of leitzanus, unfortunately, that creeps into Parshas Nayach. People, a lot of memes go out about the Mabul and Vechule, if you know what I'm talking about. And there's a lot of undermining of the godless of Nayach, the godless of the Teva, the godless of this Parsha. And so it's very important that even if we have this in our subconscious, anything, you know, remotely negative about Nayach and the Mabul, we have to completely take away our childish understanding of who Nayach was. The greatness that Nayach truly was should come and become a part of our new consciousness as we're entering this new cycle of Parshias. And with that as an introduction, I want to just take a lesson. I know it's Rosh Chodesh and the hour is a little bit later than normal. I just want to make a shorter shmooze perhaps, but something that gives us a very important yisai to take away from Nayach. Chazal tell us, of course, that Nayach built the Teva by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command, and it took him a very long time to build. It took him 120 years to build the Teva. That's a very, very long period of time. And the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to build the Teva and for it to be in a way that was very public and a very long process was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to get the Dar HaMabul to do tshuva. And every person that passed by Nayach over the course of this, over a century of time, would ask Nayach, what in the world are you doing? What are you building? And he would say, I'm building a Teva. Why are you building a Teva? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me that a Mabul is coming and everyone is going to be destroyed and it's time to do tshuva. And of course, we know that really no one did tshuva. Only Nayach and his sons and his daughters-in-law and his wife survived the Mabul. But it's amazing if you think about it how Nayach was able to build a teva for so long and not get frustrated by the lack of success in terms of people's reaction to it. And not only that, but Chazal tell us that he also got much scorn and derision from the process. People would make fun of him, people threatened him, people bullied him, people told him he was a fool. And so, but that didn't stop him. Nayach continued, and with the same kayach, with the same resolve to do the Ratzon of Hashem, that's how he continued for 120 long years. We could do that maybe, you know, 120 minutes if we're lucky, but 120 years is a very long time to endure all the tsaris that came about as a result of this tzivoy, but yet we find that Nayach was able to do it. Another thing that we find about Nayach similarly, in terms of how strong a personality he had and how he was able to do what was necessary to be done, was the fact that on the teva itself, after the teva was fully built and now they were on board the teva with all of the many, many types of brias on the teva that was with him, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Kufches says that Shem ben Nayach was actually, we have a, as it were, like an interview almost with Shem ben Nayach to hear what exactly was taking place on the teva. If you just learn the parasha, you don't get the inside story about what was really taking place day and night on the teva. Just, the animals boarded the ship, and it set sail, and eventually it camped at Har Ararat. But you don't know what happened on board the teva. So if you look in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it says that Shem ben Nayach said the following: Tzar gadol hayolano b'teva. We had a great. It was very, very stressful. It was very difficult to be on that teva because an animal that normally eats by day, if the diet of him is that he only eats by day, we fed him by day. Animals that only eat at night, we had to feed them at night. And the Tanchuma adds that not only that, but each and every animal was fed exactly what his normal diet was. So a camel eats tevin, eats straw. Nayach had straw in the cargo section to feed the camel. The donkey eats barley, and that was given to the donkey. And then there's a behemoth that eats at 1 o'clock, another one at 2 o'clock, one at 3, and at 3 o'clock at night. And we had to completely serve these animals, each animal at the appropriate time, their appropriate feed. And it was a great tsar, says Shem ben Nayach, what we had to do on the teva day and night, around the clock. It was an extraordinary, extraordinary feat to be able to keep all these animals at bay and happy and satisfied. And Chazal tell us that even Ruchais, even like Shadim, came on the board, Nayach had to deal with them. Amr of Yudin, says Chazal, the Medrash, Ilu hayisi sham, hayisi shaybra v'yaitzili. If I was on that teva, I'll tell you what I would do. I would break open the ship and I would jump out. I would go gladly into the churning seas of the Mabul. I would not be able to endure the suffering of Nayach Ubanav on that teva. It was an impossible mission that they were expected to do, and yet it was mission accomplished. At the end of this grueling year, they were able to come out of the teva and be able to still tell the story about what actually happened on board the teva. And we find that not only did Nayach Ubanov do everything that Hashem commanded, but Nayach didn't leave until HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the tzivoy to leave. As difficult as it was, every single moment, you can't imagine, we can't imagine the conditions on board that teva and around the clock, all of the aggravation that they went through, but you would think the second that it docked on Har Ararat, they would be like, all right, let's get out of here. But no, they waited for the tziva of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was finally mitzava them, after the Yain already showed that the land was dry. They still waited for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say, you can leave. And only then did they leave. An amazing thing that we find about Noach. How is Noach able to do this? How is Noach able to be so capable of building a teva for 120 years and being fine with that, being on board a teva that was impossible for a whole year and be fine with that? What did Noach have in him that enabled him to have this fortitude to do exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted? That's the question that I feel needs to be answered this week. And what I believe is the answer is that there's a certain midah. We know that there are many midahs that exist in the world, and we're familiar with the more famous midahs of kas, or of zrizos, or of anivos, or simcha, or different, you know, the more famous one, kinna. There are good midahs, bad midahs. There's a midah that the Archas Sadikim, which is really the sefer that you go to when you want to learn about all the midahs, the full array of midahs, and how to avoid them, and the pitfalls of every midah, and the consequences of every midah. He adds a midah that I don't know if many of us are familiar with. And it's a midah called Ratzin. Ratzin. What does Ratzin mean? Ratzin obviously means that a willingness. But the way the Archas Sadikim explains this midah is, HaRatzin Zuhi Midah Taiva Ma'ayit. It's a great midah. You have to have a very exalted, generous type of spirit to be able to possess this midah of ratzin. Umisha yesh by midas haratzin. Somebody that has this midah, what does he have? Mistapek b'cholin yonav kifi mashi yigzar olav haber yisala v'yaharar acharav. He will do happily everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands of him. And he will not be maharachav. He won't question. He won't second guess HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ubal midah zayis eina mitzapa el agdula el akavod. He's not looking for glory, not looking for fame, for fortune, for honor. Ach ritzaynai v'daitai tispal. He just has an ability to be saival things, to tolerate whatever comes his way. V'lo yisroim al inyonav. He basically says like this. There is a midah called Ratzin. Ratzin is one of the most important midas that we could ever have in our life. It's the midah of being able to be happy with what we have, to have composure. No matter what happens, we don't let our feathers get ruffled. Even in the most trying of circumstances, we stay cool, calm, and collected. And we understand that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu meets out to us is good, it's for the good, and we have to accept it without any complaining. Without any complaining. And I think this is what the midah of Noach was. Noach had this unbelievable midah of ratzin. He was what we call in Yiddish zufrieden. He was happy, he was satisfied with whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu had. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells me, 120 years, I want you to build a teva, fine. But aren't you, doesn't it get boring? Doesn't it get difficult when people are screaming at you, throwing things at you, cursing at you, making fun of you? Yeah, it might be difficult, but I'm not a complainer. I'm going to take it very positively. I'm going to look at everything in the most positive light, because if this is what Hashem commanded me, this is what I have to do. And I'm makabel everything baratzen. I'm machusay baratzen. Kibla aleim. I'm makabel your malchus with ratzen. I want to be happy with whatever you do. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to always be that guy in the room that's going to say that it's too hot, it's too cold, it's too difficult. No, I'm very happy. If this is what I'm supposed to be doing, this is what I will do. And this was the mahus of Nayach. Nayach, whatever happened on the Teva, other people might have wanted to break out and just book from the Teva and say, I can't do this anymore. Nayach didn't. Nayach said, this is my mission. This is what's upon me to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly has given me this role, and I'm going to accept the role happily. I have ratzin with whatever I do. This is what I'm supposed to be doing, and this is what I will do. It might be difficult. It wasn't. That doesn't make life easier. It's difficult. But in terms of the composure that a person has, the equanimity that a person feels about every step of the way, this is where I am, and this is what I will do, and I will not question HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I will not question HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look in Rashi and Avodah Zarah, Davav, when it speaks about Nayach Ish Sadik Tam Haya B'dayreisa, Rashi explains the word Tamim. What does that mean, that Nayach was pure, he was complete, he was whole? Anav Ushval Ruach. He had this midah of being an anav. He was anivastik. He felt humility and shval ruach. He was of low spirit. He didn't need to have kavod and gedula. He was very happy just being a simple servant who is saivel and makabel on himself, whatever comes his way. And this is the chen. Unayach matza chen b'nei Hashem. The Archa Sadikim said that when a person has this midah, everybody likes him and Hashem likes him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, the Archa Sadikim says, V'gam ha'makam reitzeyu. Everybody likes such a person. When a person is not a complainer, and a person is a person that accepts everything, he's always fine with everything. He's easy to get along with. He's easy to please. He's not high maintenance. He just wants to be, like, blend in nicely and not always be like the part of the equation that's always difficult. Everybody likes such a person. People want to be his roommate. People want to be his chavrusa. People want to go on road trips with him. People want to marry such a person because this is a person that I could live with. This is a person that people find chen in. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'nayach matza chen b'nei Hashem. When you have that midah, there's no greater midah in the world than just being a nice, easy-to-please type of person. Interesting. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin also, that same Gemara Kovches, that there's a certain bird by the name of Urshina. The Urshina was, the Hebrew name for Urshina is Chayil. And I believe the English word for Urshina is a phoenix. But he found Nayach found him, this bird, sleeping in like the hull of the ship, the hull of the Teva. And Nayach says to him, I don't think I fed you. Like, aren't you hungry? Like, why are you not complaining about the food? Amar lei, chazisich tavis trid, I saw that you were so busy. Amina lei tzarech, I didn't want to bother you. I didn't want to cause you more tzarech. I saw you were so troubled and so inundated by all the other millions of creatures on the boat. You're running here and there. I didn't want to bother you. Amar lei, so Nayach gives a bracha to this bird. Yehei rava delay tamus. It should be Hashem's will that you never die. Shenemar, and it brings a pasuk about this chayel that has arba yamim, it has arichas yamim. We see from this Gemara, what's the point of this story? The point of this story, I believe, is that Nayach wasn't just the captain of the Teva. Nayach was the mashpia on the Teva. Nayach's midah of ratzain seeped in, or was supposed to seep in, to every single creature on board the ship. Because if we're going to make a world 2.0, and the first world was destroyed because people were angry and people were chamas and people, you know, were doing Avodah Zarah, Gila Rash, Vichastam, Gezel. It was a world gone crazy. The new world had to be in the image of Nayach. It had to be a world of Ratzin. It had to be a world of peace and tranquility and ease. And so when Nayach saw this bird, he said, Baruch Hashem, my hashpa is having an effect. The ratzin that I have, the ability to take everything with composure, is seeping into the barrier. If there's a bird like the Arshina that sees me going crazy, and he says, and I'm not gonna shepherd him because I'm gonna be okay, I'm gonna be fine, I'm not gonna bother him. That midah of Ratzin was Nayach's midah Saratzin. And Nayach gave him a bracha that he should live forever in Taka. That's why the phoenix is the legendary bird that lives forever. There's another chazal that Rashi brings in the parsha, also in Sanhedrin, Kovches, is where the Gemara is, that when the Yaina came back to the Teva, the Yaina said to Nayach, he had an olive branch in his mouth, and that symbolized something. That olive symbolized something. And what Chazal learned from this is that Nayach, that Yaina was saying to Nayach, you mizaynaisai meruren kizayis. I would prefer that my muzzin, my food, is as bitter as this olive, biyadei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the hands of Hashem, v'lei mesukin kedvash, rather than being sweet as honey, bidei basar v'dam, but from a human. I'd rather be served from Hashem even bitterness than getting food from a human being that's sweet. Now, it bothered me, this Gemara, because it's not nice to say this to Nayach. Nayach is schwitzing a whole year, feeding all the animals, including the Yaina. Yaina comes back and he's all like, you know, all of a sudden now at the end of the year, he could be like this way to Nayach and say, basically slam the door on Nayach's face and say, you know, I'd rather get my olive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, albeit bitter, than to take from you sweet things. Like, it's not nice. But I think that the pshat is that Nayach was pleased by this comment or this gesture of the Yaina. Because this is what Nayach was trying to inculcate into the Teva. That no matter what happens, even if life is very bitter, no matter what HaKadosh Baruch Hu serves me up, I'm going to accept it, I'm going to be happy with it, it's going to be sweet to me because it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Nayach was pleased by that. Nayach, this is show that Yaina was a good Talmud of Nayach. That he had this midah of Ratzin, that I'm willing to have things that are bitter from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what I want in my life, and I'll be makabel whatever happens with tranquility and with happiness. We all live in a teva. We're all part of a teva. The yeshiva is definitely a teva. Rav Huttner speaks about how yeshiva is a teva, and other gedolim speak about how, the Stipler, I believe, speaks about how the yeshiva is a teva. We're in a teva. This is a ship. It might not be, a mabul outside, but there is a mabul outside. There's a spiritual mabul outside. We're in a teva. And if we're on a teva, it would really do us well to learn how to be on a teva properly. I always feel like one of the main things about being in yeshiva is to learn how to live with other people in a way that a Ben Torah lives with other people. There were times that we weren't in yeshiva. We were all at home. We were sent home. We were in Corona. We were doing Zoom shiurim and whatever. The yeshiva, I guess, was functional. It was still continuing. The shiurim were being given. Why do we need even a building? You have Torah anytime. You have Lander Torah. You have Great Jewish Podcast. There's so many other venues to be able to get Torah online. Why do you need to stay home, go to college at home and listen to Shirim online? What's wrong with that? What do you need a yeshiva for? And there are many answers, but I think one main answer is that in yeshiva, you learn how to deal with other people, how to deal with a roommate, how to deal with a chavrusa, how to deal with a rebbe, how to deal with a shir, how to deal with, how to be an ilam mensch, like we spoke about last man, how to be an isik b'tzarchei tzibur, to be a gabai, to be the guy that fills up the coffee urn, the person that brings down the cups to the dining room, from the dining room to the coffee room every day. These are things that you can't really learn so well at home, but you can learn very well in yeshiva. And there are different types of people, there are different personalities in yeshiva. We know that. There are people that are always happy. There are talmidim, they come from day one, and not that everything is perfect. Their life at home might be a disaster, and their chavrusa situation might be a disaster, and their roommate situation might, but they're always happy. They're like the Hiroshima bird. I don't want to bother anybody. I'm okay. I'm good. It's not to say that you shouldn't bring it up. If you have a problem with your chavrus, you have a problem with it. This is not saying we should put a big band-aid on our life and never complain about anything. If there are things that we need to express, we should. But I'm talking about the basic attitude that people have. And when a person has an attitude that, yeah, I have to fix certain things, but by and large, I love it in the yeshiva. Yeshiva is amazing. I'm so grateful to be here. I can't believe I'm so lucky that I'm in the yeshiva. There are guys like that. Those are the people that are so pleasant to be around, and everybody loves them. They're popular. They're always like, they're just good. And then there are people that from day one, they land, you know, in the teva, and from day one, they're just looking to complain. This isn't good, and that's not good, and it's too cold in the basement, it's too hot in the basement, the classes are too big, they're too small, the light isn't, it's too bright, it's too not bright, the davening is too fast, it's too slow. Everybody has something to say, everybody has a complaint, and sometimes it's very valid, and there should be forums to suggest different things. No one's saying that yeshiva is perfect. It's not. But the question is, what's my default? Is my default in life that I'm a pleasant person? I have the midas haratzin. I'm happy. Baruch Hashem, everything is, I'm sameach b'chalkai. Things are good. Do I want to get a different roommate? Yes. Maybe I'll wait till the end of next month, or maybe I'll speak to, but I'm not looking to always be complaining. This carries over, not out of the teva of the yeshiva, it carries over into the teva of our lives, of our homes, when we get married. This is the number one thing that I think will make you have shalom bayis. And if you don't have it, you won't have shalom bayis, rachman al-islam. If the person that you are and the person who you will marry has midas haratzin, everything will be good. When you go out on a date, you should be looking for many different things in a girl. And I can't give you a list right now of, you know, what they are and what the hierarchy of importance of things are. But one thing that is a given that you have to find in a girl is this midah. The midah of ratzin, that she's happy and she's not a complainer. If she's a complainer and everything, you're going to say, well, how do you know if she's a complainer? It's very easy to know. Because, you know, at a certain point in one of the dates, she's going to start saying, the service in this restaurant is so slow. Like, why do we have to wait so long? The waitress got the order all wrong. Or this, you know, it's freezing in here. Why do they have to have the air conditioner cranked up so high? Things like that. And it might be cute on a date, but then, like, when you get married, it becomes like a constant, everything is like that. Everything is a complaint. There's never any svarot, and there's never any happiness and contentedness, and no one's making, you know, we're not making enough money, and we're not, the house is not big enough, and the car is not new enough, and the, you know, the kids aren't clean enough, and it's all, you know, constant complaining, mitchila v'ad seif. When you find a girl that has ratzin, she's happy, Baruch Hashem, everything is good, life is good. Does that mean that, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, things, she might want things better, and she might say that she wants. That's not complaining, that's just being a realist. But overall, what's the default? Is the default that I'm happy, or is the default that I'm miserable? Am I miserable and you have to please me, or am I happy and we just have to fix a few things? That's the difference between Shemayim and Aretz. And when you marry such a girl, and when you're such a person, then, you know, the world is yours. Everything you do is going to be happy, and you're going to be successful, and you're going to feel, and your kids will be happy, and you'll grow, you'll make your teva into a shining beacon of light for Klal Yisrael, for your community, because there's midas haratzin. You're happy, you're good, everything is good. You're not looking for bigger, better, fancier always. Things are good, things are stable, things are serene, you could live, you could breathe. There's not always like this anger and tension and friction and just being mellow, being cool. That's the most important thing. That's the most important thing that a person can have. Rav Pam was once asked by a Ben Torah, by a Talmud who was leaving yeshiva, like, what am I supposed to do at work? Like, give me advice. Like, what should I do? Like, now I'm going to the workplace. How should I act? What should I... So he said like this, if you want to be successful He says you need three things. You have to be the hardest worker. Don't like cut corners and be lazy and try to like just do nothing. You should be the hardest worker. That's one way to ensure your success. You have to be the most honest at work. You have to be constantly ethical and honest with everything. And he said the third thing is you have to be the most pleasant person at work. Just be that nice person. If you're that nice person and you're just like always just easygoing and you're easy to schmooze with and you're easy with a smile you don't have this constant complaining attitude that some people at work always have, you'll be fine. You'll be amazing. But if you don't have this, if you're not a pleasant person, then the teva at work is going to be a mabel, and the teva at home is going to be a mabel, and the teva in the yeshiva is going to be a mabel. And the shul that you go to is going to be constantly politics and this and that complaining. It's so great. It's so great to learn the lessons of Sefer Bereishis. Every parsha, and some people start from the Avos, and of course the Avos are great icons of Yerushalayim, of Kedusha, Vaydas Hashem, and we will learn in Mitzvah Hashem tremendous lessons from the Avos. But it really starts earlier. It starts by Adam Arishon, it starts Nayach. And Nayach was a tzaddik. If the Torah says it's a tzaddik, and he was tamim, then that's money in the bank. We can learn so much from Nayach. But I think that the greatest lesson that Nayach offers us is this midah of midas haratzin, to always just be able to roll with the punches, to be easy, to be nice, to be happy, to be pleasant. That was the midah of Nayach. The Nayach matzah chen b'nei Hashem. If we want to have chen in the eyes of Hashem and the eyes of people around us, this is a must-have midah. This is a midah that we have to work on like perhaps no other midah. And that's the Baruch Hashem, you know, in yeshiva, I think it's sort of easy sometimes, I feel, from my vantage point at least, to have ratzon because we're so blessed. Like, you know, it's not like, you know, in Radin, we have letters from the Chavetz Chaim that there was literally no food for the Bachram to eat. They were starving. They mamish had nothing to eat. And they still were able to somehow learn the Star of Sidra Yeshiva and get through it. I don't know how they did it, but we have so much. I mean, you know, you look at, we have fresh bagels every single morning. We have 10 different types of cereals every day. And then the meal plan and the night. And we have so much. It's a beautiful building and we have air. And we still find reasons to gripe and to complain. And Shabbos isn't good and this isn't good. Yontif isn't good. You know, it's something that's so important for us to learn this important midah in yeshiva. This is a good training ground to learn this midah because, like I said, it's relatively easy to have ratzon when you're in yeshiva because, Baruch Hashem, we have so much good, so much plenty here. But if we could really begin to work on this and be a great roommate, be a great chavrusa, be a great talmud, then when we get married in Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to be the greatest husbands. When we go to work, we're going to be the greatest employee or employer. And we'll be able to just be people that are likable and that are honorable and that people just, you know, speak highly about. And that's this is the greatest thing I think that we could work on. We learn it from Nayach, and I want to wish all of you a beautiful Shabbos, a guten Chodesh, and Mitzvah Hashem, we should all find the Ratzin in our lives. Umalchusa b'ratzin kibla aleim b'makabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's El Malchus Shamayim b'ratzin, and Mitzvah Hashem, we should be zeicha to only hatzlacha this man, keni ratzin.